Very good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 16. As mentioned last Lord's Day, the conclusion of the life of Samson, the rebellious judge, is very unusual from other judges. In the case of other judges, when God concluded their lives by mentioning how long they had been a judge, that would be the end of it. But after mentioning that Samson functioned, judged Israel in the days of the Philistines for 20 years, God devoted an extra chapter delineating how Samson ended his life. This is the final moment of a man who could have been mightily used of God in the most spectacular and spiritual way. Instead, he was a man used by God while he was ignorant of God, while he was ignorant of holiness and the means and the way of God. It is true that even the wrath of man, the evil of man, the wickedness of man, the betrayal and the sin of man can be turned around to accomplish God's glory. And that is a very encouraging truth revealed to us by God regarding God's power and God's sovereignty. So that in the face of all these evil men, evil people, like what Hitler did to the 6 million Jews that he killed, God used this to bring forth the nation of Israel in 1948. But does that mean that these men, evil men, are excused for all that they have done wrong? Does this mean that these evil men, whom God can even use their life of sin and debauchery for His own glory, that they should continue in sin and debauchery? Not so. As we can see from the account of how God will now deal with this man called Samson. And the title is taken from the last verse of this passage, verse 20. Finally, after all that Samson did, the Bible tells us the Lord departed from Samson. The word departed means God turned aside, God turned away, as if God turned His face away from him. That means what happened to you, Samson, I'm not going to care anymore. I'm not going to come and help you anymore. I'm not going to use you anymore. Enough. What was it that resulted in God's strong judgment against Samson? Do you know how sad and how frightening it is for any one of us if God were to say to us that I have turned my face away from you? I will ignore you. I'm not going to bother about what you're going to do with your life anymore. When the enemies attack you, you will have to take care of yourself. It is like a father telling the son, enough, son. You keep on living a life of sin, enough. You now will have to fend for yourself. There will be no more support from Father. This is it. You know how scary and how difficult it is to live in a world that is so filled with evil and wickedness? When God Almighty could have been there by your side all the days of your life, you could experience a life of safety. But instead, God said, I have departed from you. No more. What was it that Samson continued to do that resulted in God's departure? We have to learn from what he did. Because some of us may be in the same state as Samson at this juncture. And we may not even be aware of it. And that is worse than in the case of Samson. At least finally he realized God had departed from me. Do not presume that God is on your side because you say you are on God's side. Do not presume that you know God because you say you know Him. It must be God says, I know you. It must be God who says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It must not be you say to God, because very often our heart is absolutely, totally deceitful. And you and I very often want to follow God on our own terms, not on God's terms. And when we do that, that is a life of disobedience. And before you and I know it, we have already carved and made God into an image that we like. An image that we are comfortable with. And then the next step that we do is we're going to make our own heaven according to our own image of God as well. And to top it off, we also will have designed and created our own means and ways to worship this God that we have made in our own image, and this heaven that we have made into the image of this God, that we say now I have access to this heaven as well. And so now everything, God, heaven, and my way into heaven is all designed and created by us, and we don't even realize it. At least not now. But you will realize it one day. And that will be the day of death. Because by the time the day of death comes, it will be too late. There is nothing you can do to change. Because there is no such thing as a God of your own image, and there is no such place called a heaven made according to your image, and therefore this access to this invisible heaven that does not exist is a lie. And if you do not take stock and evaluate right now where you are still alive and breathing and do something about it, like what Samson did at the end of this chapter, when he was stripped of every ounce of strength and pride and everything, he turned to God. He was still alive for a brief moment before he died. As long as you are still breathing, you can still do something about it, and therefore you and I better take stock. Because if the Lord had already departed from you and you are just simply living on as if all is well with your soul, you are not well with your soul. And you don't want to find out when you breathe your last breath and then you find yourself in hell and it's all over for eternity. Hell is real. And after hell, at the end of the millennium, hell will be emptied and every unbeliever will be resurrected with what kind of body we are not told, and then they will be sent to the lake of fire. God willing, next Lord's Day sunset, we're going to talk about the white throne judgment. Then we're going to talk about the many different kinds of judgment. What's the difference between paradise, Abraham's bosom, hell, Hades, and then the great white throne judgment? We hope to deal with that next Lord's Day evening at the sunset gospel hour. But you rest assured, the final destination will be the lake of fire. That's where every unbeliever will end. And God is no respecter of persons. And so let us see what Samson did that resulted in God's departure. How tragic. First thing to note, verse 1 to verse 3. Then went Samson to Gaza, one of the fortified cities of the Philistines. And then he saw there was an harlot. And then he went in unto her. Fornication. Went to the prostitute again. He never learned, isn't it? The last couple of chapters was an account of a very willful, self-centered man who demanded from his father that he wanted to marry a Philistine woman. And then with his wedding feast and with the tragic end to this wife of his, he went back now down to the Philistine territory, and this time no need to get married. Just commit fornication with her. And he was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and they laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And so they wanted to ambush him and to get rid of this Israelite, the Danite, because he had been killing Philistines. The previous chapter, he used a jawbone to slaughter many of them. And Samson lay till midnight. He arose at midnight and he took the doors of the gate of the city and the two poles and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulder and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. In other words, these liars, L-I-E-R-S, or ambushers, they were utterly, completely helpless and useless against him. Somehow he knew he couldn't care. So what was the first problem that we see here that resulted in God's departure? Unrepentant sin. Isn't it? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Samson, he committed the lust of the flesh again and again and again and again. That was his Achilles heel, the lust of the flesh. Of these three sins, which one do you keep on succumbing to? The sin of pornography, the sin of the flesh is very real. We are surrounded by a world where the sex trade is making billions and billions of dollars every year to those who ply this trade. Hollywood is top of the list. The movie moguls in Hong Kong and Bollywood, they are also part of this whole movement of using sex to make money. And then on the internet, it can be used for such great good, can also be used for such great evil. And how many have been snared by this? And then now our young people are not ashamed anymore to sell their bodies just for a few dollars to buy the latest gadget. And some of them are as young as 13, 14, 15 years old. We are living in a very sick and evil world. And the only protection is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have a judge whose unrepentant sin of fornication will continue to hound him, and it will be the sin that will destroy him. If you are committing an unrepentant sin, that will be the first thing that God will begin his departure from your life. Unrepentant sin is not something that you should treat lightly. Because anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, if anyone has truly experienced what it means to say to God in heaven, that I know I'm a sinner, I know I deserve hell because of the tragic, manifold sins that I have committed against you, and I know I deserve to end in hell for all eternity and to be burned because of what I have done against you. But I come and beg for mercy. And I thank you, Lord, for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die in my place so that I don't have to burn in hell. He died on the cross for me. He was punished for my sake. Save me. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. And I thank you, Lord, that you have accepted what he has done for me because you raised him from the dead, so that I know that my sins are all forgiven. Because of my sin, I know I will die. But because my sins are forgiven, I know I will never die. I will never die. And because Jesus Christ paid for all my sins. Now, if you have ever experienced this in your heart, you will not want to have sin in your life. You will hate sin because you know that your sin caused the blood of God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you see sin in your life, you want to get rid of it immediately. You want to be defensive. You don't want to use euphemistic words to try to dress it up and make it not like sin when you know it is sin. Homosexuality is a sin. It is not an alternate lifestyle. Face it. Fornication, adultery, they are all sinful acts. Pornography, it is not a disease. It is not a sickness. It is a sin. Don't allow all these mumbo-jumbo from psychologists that you find out in the world. They like to use big words, sweet words, good words to dress sin up and make it look so good. Don't be deceived. Face it for what it really is. Sin is sin, and get rid of it. And don't call it an addiction. It is a sin. Because when you call it an addiction, everybody is addicted. And then when you have this kind of attitude, you won't want to get rid of it. You will excuse it and you will continue to swim and play with this sin. Don't make excuses for yourself. The Lord is able to heal you, to help you. No matter how strong the addiction had been in the past, don't use scientific and medical excuses. All kinds of strange reason to sin. Don't be deceived by the evil one. He will couch it in all kinds of acceptable words to cause you and me to sin. Beware of unrepentant sin. All sorts of addiction. is sin. Gambling, drinking, smoking, whatever it is that you and I are addicted to, get rid of it. At all costs, beware of unrepentant sin. You may not be committing the same sin as Samson. This was his sin. You and I have different sin. Get rid of them. Whatever it is, you know and you know God knows. It could be your love of money, a love for fame, love for whatever. It is deadly and dangerous, and you are a child of God. You don't want that stain in your life, because you are a Christian first and foremost. And don't indulge in self-pity. Please. There is nothing to be pity for. You want to have pity? You pity the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God who died on the cross for you. You want to have pity? You look at Him. You don't look at yourself. You are a child of God, saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Act as one. You have so much to live for because of what Christ has done in your life. Live as one who is victorious in Christ Jesus the remaining days that you have on this earth, and be a godly witness for Him. Beware of unrepentant sin. And this unrepentant sin, of course, will continue. Nothing could touch him. And so what was the next sin that will result in God's departure? Foolish arrogance. I don't need to repent. Who can touch me? I am so strong. No enemy can touch me or kill me or hurt me. And so what do we have? From verse 4 to verse 14, I call this foolish arrogance. It is still the same sin of fornication. But you see how he taunt, how he mock and make fun, because he thought that he was invincible. And it came to pass afterward, he went to another woman in another city, Valley of Sorek. And of course, this word, this woman's name sounds like Mandarin, isn't it? Delilah, right? Delilah. Something like Mandarin. I don't speak Mandarin, of course. So my bad Mandarin will sound like Delilah. Delilah, Delilah. See, Delilah. Every come on, come on, Delilah, Delilah. Who is the Nida? Is the Samson or Delilah? Delilah, Delilah. Correct or not? Mandarin speakers? Not true? Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said unto her, entice him, you see. Now they got this Delilah. He likes you. That is his weakness. You entice him, you lure him on. And then see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. What does Delilah care for? Money. You think he cared for Samson? This is her trade. She uses her body to lure men like Samson, foolish men. And you think Satan doesn't know your weakness? He knows your weakness, and he will make use of your weakness for his own glory. And if he can get this Christian, this elder, this pastor, this deacon, this leader to stumble and fall, you know how great a victory he would have. You know how loud the sound of the fall would be when it is so high up, a leader crashing down and bringing shame to the name of Christ. You mean you Christians are like this? You look at what is happening to this man called Kong Hee. He's not a pastor. I refuse to call him pastor. He's not my pastor. Why call him pastor? In newspaper, Pastor Kong Hee. He's not pastor. He's not your pastor. Why do they print him as pastor? Kong Hee. That's who he is. The kind of shame that he has brought to the name of Christ is despicable. And to say that he is now suffering for Christ is to add more sin into his own life. He did all these things, not for the sake of Christ, it's for the sake of his wife. And you saw the videos of his wife, how she conducted herself, and yet he called himself a Christian, a pastor. How big would the fall be to the name of our Savior? Foolish arrogance. This was the agenda. All right, Delilah, he has an eye for you. We pay you 1,100 pieces of silver, all of us combined together. Will you do it? Of course she will do it. 1,100 pieces of silver, that's a whole lot of money to a woman like her. And please note the number of times. You can put down there. Number one, number two, number three, and then number four will succeed. Number one, Delilah said to Samson, verse 6, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be found to afflict thee. Now, to a man like Samson, very boastful and arrogant, this was his strength. What is your strength? What is your strength? Most people in Singapore, it's our brain, isn't it? Isn't it? Most of us, it's our brain. You want to win table tennis trophies, get imports. You want to win badminton trophies, get people from outside. Bring them in. You want soccer, bring them in, right? When it comes to maths, no need. We can do it, right? Isn't it brain? So you think you're very smart. There's your strength. Boast about your academic accomplishments. How clever you are, how many A's you got. And you like to tell people, well, what was Samson's strength? His strength. And so, when this Delilah asked him, hey, tell me the secret of your strength. He was boastful. Yeah, everybody likes to boast about his strength, isn't it? When people did well in their studies, they don't mind going around and asking people how they did for their studies as well, hoping that the other person will ask him back in return, isn't it? How did your son do? Of course, your son must be doing very well before you ask me. Yeah. If your son just barely scraped through, don't ask. But if your son is top 4% in your school, straight A's, A star, A plus, whatever it is, what did your son do? How did they do in your PSL? How did they do in the O level, the A level? What did they get? What's the next thing you hope to do? The person will ask you, what did your son get? Isn't that true? In the office, it's the same thing. It's the same game, isn't it? Boast about your strength. Because that's where your confidence is, right? Your forte, my ability to make money, my ability to excel in this trade, in this profession. I'm the best pianist, I'm the best artist, I'm the best singer, I'm the best in the church, I'm the best in everything. Same mentality. And that was Samson's weakness, and that is also our weakness. Be careful of foolish arrogance. Because it is really foolish, isn't it? She is a prostitute. You like her. And now she wants to taunt you and ask you the secret of your strength. And then Samson played with her. If you buy me with seven green withes, the width there is small ropes. Like twines like that. Okay? Green means it is not dried up. They were never dried. Then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her seven green withes, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Seven is the number of perfection. So tie me with these seven, and I will be weak like a normal person. And then they lied in wait, waiting to see whether it is true. And then she said unto him, the Philistines be upon us, Samson. And so she now wanted to test him. And then he broke the withes as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire, so his strength was not known. And then Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. He thought it was a game. He was so full of himself. He did not know that this was a trap. These words that she was asking, this little game that she was playing, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. This is not a game, Samson. Your life is at stake. Don't you realize that? Your testimony for God is at stake. Don't you know? You think this is a game? You want to play the fool calling yourself a Christian? You think this is a game? You do not know. You are walking testimony of Jesus Christ. It's not a game. Souls who see Christ and they don't see the Christ of the Bible in your life, they die in their sin, they end up in hell. It's not a game. Spending eternity in hell is not a game. Isn't that true? You call yourself a Christian, that means please let them see Christ in you. Samson was a man who belonged to the people of Israel. Israel means the prince of God. How could he behave and conduct himself in this manner? Treating the name of Jehovah God as if it is a game. Tell us the secret of your strength. And then he said unto her second time, if they bind me fast with new ropes. Now the word ropes there is a word where it talks about intertwined like a rope. So it is, the first one is thin, small rope, seven of them, not dried. But this one is a big fat cord. It's thicker. It's a thick rope that never were occupied, never used before, brand new. Never used it to tie anything else before. You used it to tie me. Then I'll be weak like any other man. And then Delilah did the same thing, took new ropes, bound him therewith and said unto him, Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were lies in wait, waiting in the chambers. And then he just simply tore these cords or these ropes apart as if they were nothing. And then Delilah said the same thing, hither thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest seven locks of my head with the web. You notice that the first one is thin rope. Second, thick rope. They're all like his hair, isn't it? He's giving them a clues. It's my hair. Because the rope looks like the hair, isn't it? It's just longer. And here he's talking about his hair now. You tie my hair up into a web. Bundle it up, in other words. And if you do that, I will be very weak. And so she did it. She fastened it with a pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he'd awake out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. Nothing could tie him. And then she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee? Boastful, foolish arrogance. All his life, super strong, invincible for 20 years. Nobody could touch him for 20 years. And so he went to his head. Everything you have done in your life have always been a success. There are some who are like that, isn't it? Since they are very young, they have been endowed with a very high IQ. Studies to them is a piece of cake. Everybody struggles, he doesn't struggle. Never experience what's it like to get anything less than a B+. Always A's. Other people see only, wow, so thankful to God. What is a C? Never heard of a C. So far. Always an A student. Never failed before in his life. Primary school, secondary school, O level, A level, you name it, he's got it. He's been there. Never failed before. And then went into the working world with everybody laying all kinds of trophies at his feet. His whole life is now mapped out and planned for, and he will easily make tons of money. He will become indispensable to any company who can get him in whatever professional trade that he's good in. Samson was like that. So full of himself. God, who is God? I am the one who did it all. I am the one, not God. I did it all. You fail to realize that God is the one who gave you the strength to generate wealth. Do you know that? You can't do anything without God. You think you're so smart. You can't even exist without God putting you into your mother's womb. You think you're so clever. All God needed to do is to put one tiny little bug into your brain and you would be useless. All God needed to do is to put one tiny little virus attacking your body and you will be bedridden. You think you're so smart because men say you are, because you pass all the standards of men's exam, because that's exactly what it is. All these exams, PSLE, O-level, A-level, whatever alphabet you want to put to it. They're all exams set by men. Men's exam, men's grade, men's accolades means nothing. And yet you allow all these to go to your head. I did it all. I am a self-made millionaire. You make nothing. It's but for the grace and mercies of God in your life. The God whom you now doesn't even want to acknowledge. He has been controlling your life from the day you begin to exist in your mother's womb, not only for believers, but for every human being, every bird, every mosquito, every fly, on this planet earth. God is the one in control of them all. But the only creature other than the fallen angels who dare to say, I did it, instead of God, are human beings. Human beings. That's who we are. And if we do not stop this direction, this thinking, unrepentant sin, it will immediately reveal and lead to foolish arrogance. Because you still think that you are successful in your unrepentant sin. You think that with your money, with your position, everything that you seem to touch, everything you touch seems to turn to gold. Because to you, gold means dollars and cents. And you think that that is life. That is not life. That is death. That is not life. The more things you have, the more headaches you have. Don't you know? You think you have money. You don't own your money. Money owns you. You live in your life of luxury. Now what happens is that you can't even live without your life of luxury. Then now who is the master? You can't do with your luxurious life now after you've tasted all the good things. And when you are made a bankrupt, you still want to pretend as if you have this luxurious life. Put on a facade or mask. Who is the slave now? You don't own money because you love money, and the money has now become the root of all your evil. And you are prepared to do anything for money. You be careful of foolish arrogance. You humble yourself before God. If you are a Christian, you are nothing and you can do nothing without God. And please don't think that materialism is anything that is of worth. Materialism means nothing and it is worthless. Worthless. No joke. Every item that God gives to you that is of a material nature, you use it to be a better Christian. You use it for His glory and help others be a better Christian. If not, then you're using it in the wrong way. Because that's exactly what it's for. It is only good for that because we are Christians. We can turn something material into something spiritual because we use it for Christ. As an unbeliever, you can't. You don't have the ability, and all the material things, you use it for own personal benefit and for personal gain. For self gratification. Is that not true? That was the old man. That was the old life. Be careful of foolish arrogance. You are nothing without Christ. Remember that. And you are everything because of Christ. Therefore, be grateful, be thankful. So beware of these two, transgression, unrepentant sin, leading to foolish arrogance, and then the last straw. I call this the last straw. The last straw. What was the last straw? Maybe you can call it blatant idolatry. I call this idolatry. Because he was prepared to listen to the voice of Delilah than God. What did Delilah do? Verse 15. How can thou say, I love thee, when thy heart is not with me? You say you love me, right, Samson? And if you love me, then how come you don't tell me the truth? Thou hast mocked me these three times, hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. You love the wrong woman, young man. You are dead. Young woman, the same thing. You love the wrong man, you are also dead. If you are single, you better follow the Bible in finding a proper life partner. This is for the young men in particular, because you find that in the book of Proverbs, there are a ton of verses warning, teaching young men to beware of strange women. Strange women are not women with three eyes on their face. Strange women means women who are not godly. They are women of the world. And I hope that you want to marry someone who is spiritual. And in order for you to marry someone who is spiritual, you better be spiritual, because if you are not spiritual, even when God brings someone who is spiritual right in front of your face, you can't see spirituality. Because in order for you to see a spiritual person, you have to be spiritual. That is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2. Natural men understand natural things. Spiritual men understand spiritual things. You want a spiritual life partner? You be spiritual. You don't go around look for spiritual people. You look at yourself first. You be a spiritual young man, spiritual young woman. Then you'll find a spiritual life partner. Because if you are not spiritual, you can't see spirituality. So you want to find a life partner who is godly and spiritual, be spiritual yourself first. Don't say, I will be spiritual after I get married. You married the wrong person. How to be spiritual? You think Delilah, who, let's say if Samson married Delilah, you think Samson will become a spiritual man? You can forget it. She will use his weakness against him. She is no fool. She is the tool of Satan. She knows his weakness. His weakness is women. And so she will use his weakness to destroy him. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her. Keep on nagging, keep on nagging. How long can a man last? Not long. Man's weakness, you know, right? When a woman cry, when a woman nag, okay, you get it, all right, we'll go. Go where? Anywhere, you want to go anywhere, but please stop nagging, right? Wives, always work. Husband, correct or not? Husbands? No, not true. Get a spiritual wife, then this will not happen. Right, so next step, keep on nagging and urge him so that his soul was vexed unto death. You see, so vexed unto death, cannot tahan anymore. Ayah, open my eyes, only hear her voice, see her face. And then he told her all his heart, you see, finish. Open his heart out to her and told her his weakness. There had not come a razor upon my head, for I had been a Nazarite. Oh, he knew he was a Nazarite unto God, that means his parents told him. Remember, what is a Nazarite? A biblical separatist. That's you. A Christian. You're supposed to behave like a Christian, Samson. You are a Nazarite of God, unto God from your mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Now, to be a Nazarite, there are three things, actually. Cannot touch an unclean dead carcass. Cannot touch the fruit of the vine. Definitely cannot drink it. Even a grape also, you cannot eat it. And then you cannot have a haircut. He has really broken the other two. So his supernatural strength that was still given to him by God, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, it is only by God's grace. It's not his long hair. It is by God's grace and mercy. He didn't see. He didn't know. He did not see and he did not know because of his unrepentant sin, his foolish arrogance, and now his blatant idolatry. Loving a woman more than he loved God. Caring more for what this woman thinks of him than what God thinks. All he needed to do was to pack his bag, go back to Israel, problem solved. But he remained behind and he rather let himself be vexed and to tell her the truth regarding his strength. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines saying, come up this once. This is it. I've got the real secret. For he had shown me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. They knew. They got him. And she made him sleep upon her knees. Please note the polysyndeton in verse 19. The repeated usage of the conjunction and. That means every act in verse 19. Carefully planned and executed. Very deliberate. Come, Samson. Sleep on my knees. No need to sleep on pillows tonight. On my knees. False love. And she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him. And his strength went from him. That's it. And then the Philistines, be upon thee, Samson, she shouted the fourth time. And then he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake thyself. But this time, he failed. Why? It's not the hair, isn't it? The Lord had departed from him. It's gone. No more, Samson. Yes, I can use even the wrath of man for my own glory. But there is only so much. Man like Samson could take advantage of the Lord. Well, I can still live a life of sin and bring about God's glory. Isn't it okay? God said, not okay. And so the Lord departed, and he paid the price. To be left all alone, to fend for himself against the armies of the Philistines, he was definitely no match for them. It's not the long hair, it's the Lord. He couldn't see. It's not your IQ. It's not your talent. it is always the Lord. Don't ever, ever forget that. Don't need to experience what Samson experienced. It is recorded as a warning so that you and I do not end up like him, where the Lord will say to us, I have departed from you. Don't let that happen, dear friends. You don't want God to look at you and then he just turn his face away from you and walk on. Have you ever seen this picture where they have this short explanation of a man of two sets of footprints walking on a beach, right? You see the footprints on the sand. And then suddenly there was one set of footprint. And then the words say, how come God has left me? I'm walking alone. And then the last paragraph says, no, you're not walking alone. The Lord is carrying you. And so you see only one set of footprints. But in this particular picture of Samson, you still see two sets of footprints. One heading in the other direction, and this one keep on heading another direction. This footprint just keep on walking away from this one. And this one is Samson. Heading headlong toward sin after sin after sin. And now the Lord said, enough. He walks away. You don't want that in your life, dear friends. And the only way is to stop sinning. Is to recognize that without God, you are nothing. Be humble. Don't be arrogant. Your money is nothing. Your position and your accolades, they are nothing. Last week, somebody said to me, why did you say to people, Pastor, to leave their accolades outside and then to come in as sinners saved by grace, as sinners in need of grace? It's as if you're telling them, after church, go out and then put them back on. You are right. I'm sorry. It was my mistake. If I ever give you this impression, it's okay to carry all sorts of worldly carnal accolades out in the world and then only leave them outside when you come back in, as if after service, go out and put them back on. It's wrong. My mistake. You don't even have them on at all. Because whatever titles you have, you must remember that without God's grace and God's mercy in your life, you have nothing. And even if they will give you all these titles, they call you CEO, they call you president, prime minister, king, or whatever, emperor. You can't stop what they call you. But you can stop yourself from believing what they call you. Before God, you are no CEO. And even if you are CEO, what a CEO means? Nothing. It's just simply describing a heavy responsibility. Same for pastor, same for elder, same for deacon. It's not a promotion. It simply describes the responsibility before God. And if you ever think that all these are promotion, you better get out. You're unfit. It's not a promotion. It describes your office where God will one day hold you accountable. If I'm not called, I'd rather be an architect. I don't want to be a pastor. Seriously. If I design an ugly building, we are told by our lecturers, build tall trees. Cover them up. Nobody will see. You be a pastor, you ruin lives. And then they die. You stand before God and you give an account of every soul that God has entrusted to you to look after, to feed them, protect them, and care for them. It's a very, very heavy and scary responsibility because these are not numbers. These are children of God that God has redeemed with the precious blood of His only begotten Son. That's all of you. You are God's children. And pastors, elders, deacons are supposed to look after you while you serve God on earth. Imagine if your maid or some teacher abused your children. What would you do? You say, never mind? You think God will say, never mind to us when we abuse you? That's why it is a very big and heavy responsibility. You and I all have certain spiritual responsibility. Don't fail the Lord to the point where the Lord says, I depart from you. Don't let that happen. All you need to do is to repent, come back and walk the life of holiness according to the Bible. It's very simple. This is what every believer must desire in his soul because of Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. May thy Holy Spirit take stock and measure each and every heart that you have gathered into thy sanctuary this morning. You know our lives. You know where we stand before thee. You know how we have lived. May there be no unrepentant sin in our lives. May we be covered by a true sense of humility instead of foolish arrogance. And may there be no idol in our lives, but there is only one living and true God, who is our Lord, our God, and our loving Heavenly Father. This is our heart's cry. This is our heart's desire. May this be the desire of every child of God this morning. Forgive us, O Lord, and keep us faithful as we serve thee in these last days. For we do not want you to depart from us. For you have promised us that the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been given all power in heaven and in earth, and he will be with us always, even unto the end of the world. And this is our heart's desire, and this assurance must keep us faithful as we serve him and live for him. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.